Chapter 27. Katrina survived. She came back slowly from the motionless coma that precedes death, and with her hesitant return, Sean's despair changed to hope, and then to a wonderful relief. Her water was no longer black, but dark pink and thick with sediment. She was aware of him now, and although she was so weak that she could not lift her head off the pillow, her eyes followed him as he moved about the wagon. It was another week before she learnt about the baby. She asked him, and her voice, a tired whisper, and Sean told her with all the gentleness of which he was capable. She didn't have the strength for any great show of emotion. She laid quietly staring up at the canvas above her head, and her tears slid down across her yellow cheeks. The damage that the fever had done to her body was hardly credible. Her limbs were so thin that Sean could completely encircle her thigh with one hand. Her skin hung in loose yellow folds from her face and body, and pink blood still stained her water. This was not all. The fever had sucked all the strength from her mind. She had nothing left to resist the sorrow of her baby's death, and the sorrow encased her in a shell through which neither Sean nor Dirk could reach her. Sean struggled to bring her back to life, to repair the terrible damage to her mind and body. Every minute of his time he employed in her service. He and the servants scoured the veldt for 30 miles around the lager to find delicacies to tempt her appetite. Wild fruits, honey, giraffe marrows, the flesh of a dozen animals, kabobs of elephant heart and dika liver, roasted iguana lizard as white and tender as a plump pullet, golden fillets of the yellow-mouthed bream from the river. Katrina picked at them listlessly, then turned away and lay staring at the canvas wall of the cot. Sean sat beside her and talked about the farm they would buy, trying vainly to draw her into a discussion of the house they would build. He read to her from Duff's books, and the only reaction he received was a small quivering of her lips when he read the words death or child. He talked about the days on the Witwatersrand, searching his mind for stories that might amuse her. He brought Dirk to her and let him play about the wagon. Dirk was walking now. His dark hair had started to curl, and his eyes were green. Dirk, however, could not be too long confined in the wagon. There was too much to do, too much to explore. Before long he would stagger to the entrance and issue the imperial summons. "Be Jane! Be Jane!" Almost immediately Ember Janey's head would appear in the opening, and he would glance at Sean for permission. "All right. Take him out, then. But tell Cantler not to stuff him full of food." Quickly, before Sean changed his mind, Ember Janey would lift Dirk down and lead him away. Dirk had nearly 2 dozen Zulus to spoil him. They competed hotly for his affections. No effort was too much. Dignified Ember Janey down on his hands and knees, being ridden mercilessly in and out among the wagons. Halubi scratching himself under the arms and gibbering insanely in his celebrated imitation of a baboon, while Dirk squealed with delight. Fat Candler raiding Katrina's store of fruit preserves to make sure Dirk was properly fed. And the others keeping in the background, anxious to join the worship, but fearful of incurring the jealousy of Ember Janey and Halubi. Sean knew what was happening, but he was powerless to prevent it. His time was completely devoted to Katrina. For the first time in his life, Sean was giving more than just a superficial part of himself to another human being. It was not an isolated sacrifice. It went on throughout the months it took for Katrina to regain sufficient of her strength to enable her to sit up in bed without assistance. It continued through the months that she needed before Sean judged it safe to resume the trek towards the south. They built a litter for her. Sean would not risk the jarring of the wagon, and the first day's trek lasted 2 hours. 4 of the servants carried the litter, and Katrina lay in it, protected from the sun by a strip of canvas spread above her head. Despite the gentleness with which the Zulus handled her, at the end of the 2 hours Katrina was exhausted. Her back ached, and she was sweating in small beads from her yellow skin. The next week they travelled 2 hours daily, and then gradually increased the time until they were making a full day's journey. They were halfway to Magaliesburg, camped at a muddy waterhole in the Thorn Flats, when Ember Janey came to Sean. "There is still one wagon empty of ivory in Kosi." "The others are full," Sean pointed out. 4 hours' march from this place, there is enough ivory buried to fill those wagons." Sean's mouth twisted with pain. He looked away towards the southeast, and he spoke softly. "Ember Janey, I'm still a young man, and yet already I have stored up enough ugly memories to make my old age sad. Would you have me steal from a friend not only his life, but his share of ivory also?" Ember Janey shook his head. "I asked, that is all." "And I have answered, Ember Janey. It is his. Let it lie.